not my usual behaviour to be up at 5 a.m. However, I had gone to bed at 4:30 p.m. the day before, because I'd only just returned back from the States, and so I, a bit of jet lag, and I'd sort of got off a plane, went back to work, bang, bang, bang. Come Tuesday, I'd had enough. I was just going to bed. So I was feeling, much more refreshed and ready for the day. But that was the day that the world got smaller. Hearing my movement in the house, a visitor who was staying with me came from the room and said, "You've not heard the news, have you?" And obviously my look of puzzlement on my face gave that answer, so she instructed me to turn on the television, which I did, to be confronted by the news of the disaster in the US, which we now refer to as 9/11 or September 11. Immediately I grabbed my phone and proceeded to try and to call my friend Marsha in Philadelphia, and finally connected after numerous attempts. As we talked, she said, "Wait, there's an update on CNN." And we both became silent, as together we simultaneously listened to this report. No sound delay. I heard it in stereo, from my own television and through the phone. And at that moment, the reality, amongst a lot of other emotions that were going on, was the reality, the realization that this was now a global village, that the world had got smaller, and that due to technology, the ability to be able to communicate and to hear the exact same news at the same time became such a... In fact, 3 years to this weekend, when the world closed down because of a pandemic. 3 years ago this weekend, the world closed down. So how would we connect in isolation? Creative ways needed to be found. Local churches had to discover how to do online options. Zoom became part of our new vocab. And for many, a whole new world of church, for many, the world in the church became a whole new, different kind of virtual community. Personally, for me, it was wonderful to be able to connect with my friends, Marsha's church, to Zoom in on their online services and to interact and take part in discussions that they will have. And I continue to do that, but usually during school holidays now, because with daylight saving, they've now come off. It sort of started at 12:30 a.m., then the moment it's 1:30 a.m., and then when they're on daylight saving, or we're on daylight saving, I get confused. It gets to 2:30 a.m., but we're getting backwards soon. But I also would join in online to our church services. I also would join in with another church from Sydney that I was involved with. There was also with my sister's church in Newcastle. We had all these options now to connect with people that we may not have generally been able to do on that kind of regular basis. But what draws us together to do that? Well, there is that need for community and the desire to worship with other people. So in order to continue our faith, living out our faith in community, and I'm not talking about the neighbourhood, but in that way that we relate to one another, became important. And though we were physically separated, technology allows us to be connected. Some struggled with that more than others, but it became a gift to many people to enable them to be engaged. And Paul wrote about this in the early church in Corinth. "Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is part of it. So wherever we were still part of the body of Christ, but the pandemic and the events of 9/11 and all those kind of things showed that that body was actually bigger than what we initially thought. Yes, the body is made up of many parts, and often we just refer to that as the local church. But I believe it's the whole global church that is the body of Christ, and we need all those parts for that experiences, that we live as followers of Jesus collectively wherever we are. I did some research and found this great statement from global Christianity. It implies one faith in one Lord, expressing itself in a myriad of forms and expressions. No greater display of diversity in unity or unity in diversity exists or can exist. It is a great example of how diversity works together and that in unity brings diversity. The world church is a multicultural koinonia, an emerging omni-ethnic people for God, and a kingdom without borders. I love that sound. A kingdom without borders. And this resonates with Paul's words that Barry read from the passage of Romans 10. There is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. In the time of Paul, that's all that existed. You were either a Jew or a Gentile. And he's coming and saying, under Christ, those titles don't exist. We become followers of Jesus, or as the term then was, followers of the way. Now, admittedly, we have differing views as Christians, hence why we have different denominations. But when we strip back the cultural influences and the traditions and rituals and look at what the words of Jesus are and how to live, that's where the core that brings us together. The idea of worshipping the one God together and serving in our communities, wherever that may be. So as we've been working through this series about multiply, the emphasis is on discipleship, making disciples, sharing that story, nurturing followers of Jesus, growing in our own understanding and our own relationship with Jesus, and what that means to be a follower of Jesus, and to share that journey with others. And we're all on a different place of that journey. So we've been looking at what it means locally, and today I want us to focus on what that means globally. A favourite saying of mine, which I've got printed on my laptop, so every time I open my laptop, I read it. And it says, how does what I do and who I am fit into God's plan? And that came out of a conversation during COVID with someone when we were discussing, so where does God fit into all of this? And I went, wait a minute. We're not saying this is our life and where does God fit into it, but rather saying this is God's plan, where do I fit into it? And I keep asking myself that. So it's like that saying that I grew up with many years ago, Lord, where are you blessing today? Because that's where I want to be. Rather than asking God, I'm going to do this, God, you bless it. So it's not about God blessing my plans, but that my plans are already what God wants. So if we believe that the good news about Jesus is for everyone, how are we contributing to God's plan in making that happen? From the beginning of creation, God's intention was that for all of humanity would have this perfect relationship with God. That's what we were created to be, in relationship with God, with one another, and even ourselves. Can you imagine what that must have been like? That whole idea of that perfect relationship with God, to walk in the garden with God, to never have fear, no worries, no stresses. But God also gave us free will. And right from the beginning of humanity, they exercise that, and so do we. So we fall short of that perfection all the time. But God's plan is to bring us back. The Bible talks about being redeemed. It means to be set free from the sin that hinders us, the things, the barriers that stop that relationship. And so through the life and the sacrifice of Jesus, the Messiah, that is the one who came to save, we can experience life being transformed, our lives being transformed. And once we experience that for ourselves, would we not want to tell other people? You know, if I find something new that I like, then you're going to hear about it all the time. If I buy a particular bit of clothing, which is very rare, I've bought it because I like it, so you're going to see it all the time. So individually, God has called us to play a part in his plan of redemption. And that's the gift to all nations. It's not just for the Anglos. It's not just for the Brazilians. It's not just for any one place. It wasn't just for the Jews once Jesus came. It was for all. God made a promise to Abraham. I will make you into a great nation and I will bless you. I will make your name great and you will be a blessing. And all peoples on earth will be blessed by you. Sorry, through you. So initially this promise is given to the children of Israel, the family that is going to come from the seed of Abraham. But also from Abraham comes all nations. So what does that look like? So we can't all be everywhere at once. And our resources and physical presence are limited. However, in order to be part of God's mission, we need to think in global terms. The Apostle Paul was known as a theologian and a pastor, but his greatest contribution to the growth of the early church was to be a missionary, as one who shared the message of Jesus. And he travelled around the known world to do that. And the book of Acts, if you want to read more about where he went, the book of Acts is a record of those journeys. But he wasn't on holidays. Yes, he travelled, but often he was fraught with shipwrecks, great storms, his life in danger, persecution, spent time in jails. It's not the nice, comfy kind of way we want to look at it. But it's no accident that he was in that way of life. He chose that to be his way of life. It came from this deep passion that he had. Romans 15, it's always been my ambition to preach the gospel where Christ was not known, so that I would not be building on someone else's foundation. That's a good reminder. He's not building the church by stealing people from other churches. No, he wants to build the kingdom from those who don't know. He continues, rather it is written, those who were not told about him will see, and those who have not heard will understand. His goal was to go out and to share that message with those who had not heard. The last part, Paul is actually quoting from Isaiah 52, where it describes the Messiah that we now know as Jesus, as the servant of the Lord who would suffer in order to bring healing to his people. In Isaiah 52, see, my servant will act wisely. He will be raised and lifted up and highly exalted. Just as there were many who were appalled at him, his appearance was so disfigured beyond that of any human being and his form marred beyond human likeness. It's not quite the pretty picture that we tend to have in our books about Easter, is it? The beatings and that he took, it implies that he was not going to be recognised. But yet, he will sprinkle many nations, and kings will shut their mouths because of him. For what they were not told, they will see, and what they have not heard, they will understand. When hearing the message about Jesus, being confronted by this amazing being who wants to have a relationship, brings healing for people. How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim peace and good bring good tidings, who proclaim salvation, who say to Zion, your God reigns. The Lord will lay bare his holy arm in the sight of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth will see the salvation of our God. From the beginning, it's always been God's plan that the whole world gets to know who God is. So being the scholar that he was and knowing the scriptures, Paul includes part of this passage in his letter to the Roman church. So he knows the Old Testament very well. And so he reinforces that again. There is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who's called on the name of the Lord will be saved. But then he takes that challenge further and he says, well, that's great, but how can they be called on the one that they've not believed in if they've not heard about it? We often talk about, you know, that we have as a part of our brains that, you know, there are things that we know that we don't know, but there are things that we're not even aware that we don't know. As a teacher, I have to constantly remind myself my expectation of behaviours or things that they want them to do is unrealistic if I've not communicated what I want. I cannot assume that they know exactly what I want. In fact, I can't assume that anything. And I love it when I learn from them and I learn from other people things that I'm not even aware of. And that's what community is about. So how can they believe in something that they've not heard about? How will they hear about it unless someone's going to tell them? And who's going to tell them unless somebody sends them? That's what we're called to do. And then he repeats from Isaiah 52. How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. What a blessing to think what our feet can be like, the ones that are movement, are on its way. So if we believe that all people deserve to hear the good news about Jesus, to make disciples to all in all nations, then somebody needs to go. And it's not enough to be content in our own environment. We should share Paul's passion to see Jesus glorified in every corner of the globe, because that's God's plan. So where do you, I, we fit into that plan? There are still many people groups who have not heard the name of Jesus. And that includes here in Australia. We can take it, you know, we can take it for granted this day and age that, you know, we can't take it for granted that everybody has access, because that's not the case. There are people globally and, as I said, locally who desperately need hope, who need a sense of purpose, who need healing, who need to hear the invitation that they can build a relationship with God, their Creator. So Paul's question of 2,000 years ago, how then can they call on the one they've not believed in? How can they believe in the one whom they've not heard, and how can they hear without someone preaching them, is still very relevant today. How will or who will be the someone to share that good news, to bring the message of hope, unless they are sent? I'd hope that this challenges us. It stirs within us to think about what we are doing. To be a follower of Jesus means to be concerned about the things that Jesus was concerned about. In Matthew's account, Jesus predicts the signs of the ends of time and that they will include, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations. Then the end will come. I kept thinking about that. You know, if I don't want things to end, then I can just do nothing. I thought, oh, wait a minute, that's not quite the way God, I'm sure, wants me to think, but it went through my mind. As a follower of Jesus, as a disciple, we are called to be involved in the spreading of the good news. And that means around the world. No one is called to live a life separate from global missions. But rest assured, it doesn't mean that you've got to go home right today, pack a bag and head off to the jungle. There's a sigh of relief, I can see that. God may want you to take the gospel overseas. So don't dismiss that possibility too quickly. I've always believed that we are not called to live a comfortable life. And I recall a prayer on my way when I was going to live in the States, foolishly or not, to praying, God, I no longer want to be comfortable in church. It's not that I don't want to be safe and have nice seats, but I don't want to, when I come to church, that's all I've done and I tick the box and that's my life. I want God to be constantly stirring within me, what can I do better? What can I do more? How do I become the person that God wants me to be? So we need to consider, you know, what does that mean? You know, is it easy just to live a normal life? And probably one of the things that concerns me lots of times is, in this day and age, often it's hard to tell who are the Christians and who aren't, because we've become so comfortable in our culture and our society. And that's a whole new sermon to leave. I'll leave that one, but I'll sow that seed. Francis Chang, who wrote the book, challenges us in the book. He writes, have you ever genuinely told God that you would submit yourself to his will in this area? Have you asked God if he wants you to pursue living in a different location for the sake of the gospel? Think about that for a moment. Has God ever asked you? Have you ever sort of said, okay, God, I truly want to be your follower and fit into your plan and experience what it means to be accountable to your will? And I freely do that. And then wait to hear what God says. I suspect it's a terrifying thought. And I and many others can testify to what that means. But it comes down to, do we trust God or do we trust ourselves? So where does God want you to be? Some have chosen to pack up from home and to come to another country. God made a way to come and learn a new language, but yet opened up a whole world of ministry. So maybe it's not about going home, packing your bag and heading off to the jungle. But maybe it's about testing the waters with a short-term mission trip. I know others, Graham included, who have spent, you know, a year, a few months, a few weeks on short-term mission trips. And I can assure you it's always a time of growth. And it may give you clarity of what God is saying to you. I've had the privilege, and it is a privilege, to have been to PNG, to El Salvador and Guatemala. So here are some pictures of my experiences on short-term mission trips. So this was in El Salvador in 1992 when I was living in the States. Had that opportunity. The top picture is the church where Bishop Romero was martyred as part of the movement for independence for the country. But just interacting with these children, being able to just be present, and most of all, to see how to live a life with so little, but yet so committed to God. In 2014, 2016, I got to change it. I had 10-16 originally. I was giving away my age. In 2017, went to Papua New Guinea with Natalie and James. So the top right-hand, left-hand one, we were there to be there for the celebration of the translation of the New Testament for their area. So that was absolutely fantastic too. And another one was a village church. So the next picture is Natalie and I in the village church. And yes, that is me. There's less of me now. And yes, I am wearing a dress because that's what we did when we went to PNG. There are commitments that you do when you do cross-cultural things. Yes. Kelly didn't recognise me. However, it's not all, it's not always glamorous. In order to get to the village meant crossing a river, and I kept falling down the mud slab. So the boys behind me were instructed, whatever it takes and wherever you need to put your hands, do it. And just push. Of which they did, and I literally went flying up the top. So it's not always glamorous, it is hard work. It's hard living in community with other people. But if God, so what happens if God chooses to close the door to overseas? Maybe that's not what God wants you to do. Because it's not the only way of fulfilling God's plan to reach the nations. If we decide that God wants us to remain in the area where we are currently, for the time being, then we need to consider how we might use our resources to further the mission around the world to the other nations. So the first way that is available to all of us is to pray. So will you commit to pray for those that you know, and even more broadly, for overseas missions in general? Lance already led us this morning, and we continue to do that, to pray for the friends in Indonesia, for the Nelsons based in Cairns assisting the work in PNG, for the Agnes who are travelling to various places. Another way is to support financially. The Apostle John wrote in his letter, "Beloved, do you faithfully do, you do faithfully whatever you do for the friends, even though they are strangers to you. They have testified to your love before the church. You will do well to send them in a manner worthy of God. For they began their journey for the sake of Christ, accepting no support from non-believers. Therefore, we ought to support such people so they will become co-workers with the truth." They don't ask, you know, our missionaries don't ask for government support. They ask for those who are believers to support them. We're in this together. So how might we become co-workers through our support? Time and time again, we will say that the folk here at St. Susie Baptist Church are very generous, not only supporting the local work, but also globally. Over time, we as the church have been part of supporting not only our regular missionaries, but have also contributed to building three wells in Malawi for the Watoto Ministries, for the Children's Choir, to the Bible Society, particularly in Indigenous communities, the Sense for Seeds projects, and various projects through the Baptist World Aid and Baptist Mission Australia. It's often been said that St. Susie Baptist Church punches above its weight. Now, that's not quite an image I want to promote, but hopefully you know what I mean. For a smaller church, we give a lot. And this isn't about a guilt trip. This is about sensing what the Holy Spirit is saying to us in order to be part of this whole global mission. And thirdly, it's possible to reach out to the nations without even leaving the area. Around us locally and the wider Sydney are many nations represented. People from other lands who have come to find hope, safety, security here in this place that we call Australia. And at one time, someone in our family did that too. Came to this country. It's part of our story. Are there ways that we can assist people in settlement? Help people to learn English? Assist with understanding life here in a different culture? Getting out of our comfort zone to learn about a different culture? We have many cultures represented here within our own faith community. But there are many more that live around us as well. We could also include the different nations within Australia's Indigenous people. So the opportunity to share the good news about Jesus to the nations could already be waiting here in our midst. So how will we respond to the call? That call to go out to the nations, to be a part and extend the global church. How will you, we, me, respond to that call? To do it overseas, locally, prayerfully, financially, stepping out of our comfort zone. Let me leave you with one more picture from Scripture. The Apostle John was actually allowed to see the fulfillment of God's promise made to Abraham. In Revelation, he writes, "After this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands. And they cried out in a loud voice, 'Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb.'" Can you picture that? That heaven will have every nation, every language, every tribe. And that's where we're headed. That's God's plan. As distant and unfamiliar as churches in India and China and Papua New Guinea and Africa, Russia, Brazil, USA, Europe, etc., we can name them all. Our future with them is tied together. In fact, we now have people from other countries coming to us as their mission field. We are already a part of God's plan. So may we, can, as the body of Christ, may we commit to grow that. May we commit as followers of Jesus to being a part of reaching all nations, to be a part of growing the global church. Amen. Will you join me in prayer? Ruling Lord, you are the King of glory. You are the Lord of hosts. You are worthy to receive glory, honor, and power, for you created all things good. By your will they exist and were created. Holy, holy are you, the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is full of your glory. Holy Spirit, thank you for our global church family. Unite the body of Jesus. Unite us in your body, in all nations, as one, so that the world will know that Jesus Christ is the full measure of your love. Catch the attention of Christian people to make disciples of all nations. Bring forth a great multitude of workers to proclaim your message of salvation to every nation, especially those nations that are yet to hear about your great salvation. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for inspiring the hearts of men and women in all nations of the world to spread the word of truth to advance your kingdom. Help us to consider how we might support them in whatever means you call us to do. Help us to consider the nations who are represented in our own midst and locally as well. Stir our hearts anew to prayerfully consider how we might respond to the call to take the message of Jesus to all corners of the world. In your name, Jesus, the one who sends. Amen. I'm going to invite you to just sit for the first part. Oh no, if you want to go to morning tea. Kelly's just going to begin the song, and we just want you to take this time to reflect on the words that this powerful song presents to us about reaching out. And then I'll get Kelly to tell us the appropriate time to stand. Thanks, Helen.
God of justice, Savior to all, came to rescue the weak and the poor, chose to serve and not be served. Jesus, you have called us. Freely we've received, now freely we will give. We must go, live to feed the hungry, stand beside the broken. We must go, stepping forward, keep us from just singing, move us into action. We must go. Justly ever
I wonder what the Spirit of God is saying to you today, because the Spirit of God is always at work, amen. It's just whether we're willing to listen, whether we're willing to open our hearts and minds to what the Spirit is saying to us. So is He asking you to be more intentional in prayer for the global church, for those who don't know Him across the world? Is He calling you to maybe give financially? Is He calling you to pack your bags and to move to another country or to another location? What is the Spirit of God saying to us here today individually, but also corporately? Because I believe that the Spirit of God desires us to together engage in mission across the world. Amen. So often we hear that we need to be investing locally, which we do, but we are called to reach those across the world. And this command and this call to go is not just something that we've come up with as a church, a San Susie Baptist Church. This is a command by Jesus Christ Himself, amen. This is what He again says in Matthew 28. This is the passage that has sparked this series in the first place. Jesus says to us as His disciples, go. All authority of the universe has given to me. Now go in my authority. Make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to faithfully follow all that I have commanded you. And this is the reality that we need to realize here today and allow to sink in. Never forget that I am with you every day, even to the very completion of this age. He is with us, and we can feel as though it may be something that is getting us out of our comfort zone. We may feel uncomfortable. We may feel like we need strength and courage to take that step of faith. But the reminder for us here today is that He's with us. Amen. He's never going to abandon His people. And so let us go with that firmly in mind here today. And so, Lord, as we finish our time together this morning, we pray, Lord God, that You, by Your Holy Spirit, would be doing something in our lives that maybe You haven't done before. Maybe we just haven't been open to before. Thank You for this reminder, this incredible message, this reminder that we are called, no matter how big or small that we are, to reach those across this world. My prayer, Lord God, that individually, yes, that we would be equipped, that we would take the step of courage, the step of faith to engage cross-culturally, but also corporately, Lord God, how can we together as one invest in those who don't know You across this globe? Thank You for the incredible work that we have already been doing over so many years now. Not just supporting those who are actively engaged in cross-cultural ministry, but also through projects like building wells in Malawi, supporting orphans in Waitoto, through Waitoto, getting behind causes through Baptist World Aid and Baptist Mission Australia. Lord, we thank You for the opportunities You've given us to engage in Your mission across the world. But what we ask You today is that, again, we'll be reminded of that, that we'll be convicted, that we'll be encouraged to continue to take those steps forward into this world, into this local community, to share the incredible life-changing message of Jesus Christ with those who have never heard it before. So, Lord, give us the courage, give us the faith, help us to go and make disciples of all nations. Lord God, we thank You again for this morning. We thank You for today. And we pray, Father, that You would continue to bless Your church, that You would equip us, that You would strengthen us, that You would move us in the direction of Your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank You, Lord. Bless us this day, we pray, in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Thank you for joining us today.